Sam, thank you, and thank all of you for being here tonight. And it is a wonderful opportunity for us at the close of this day, as the sage of night draw near, for us to worship and pay tribute to our great God, and to know that when we lay our head down on the pillow tonight, that God is glorified by the presence of all of you. And we thank you so much for being here tonight. You know, several years ago, and through the years, this has occurred actually, but I was talking with a woman about becoming a member of the Lord's church, and I was talking to her about the fact that we preach the gospel. Most people always want to know, what do y'all believe? What do you teach? And I said, well, we just teach God's word. That's what we're really all about. And I said, we would love to have you come and worship at our church. And she would say, as many have said, oh, I'm just real satisfied where I am. You know, you can be satisfied with more, or you can be satisfied with less. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in our world tonight that are satisfied with a lot less. They are. A lot less than the Word of God. And that's what I'm having reference here tonight. When I said this morning that I was going to speak on the fact that we're never satisfied, but that really is true in life, isn't it? So many, many times we go through life. Have you ever known someone who couldn't be satisfied? Don't raise your hand. You can't do enough for them, and they want you to do more and more and more, and on it goes in life. And in the book of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15 and 16, King Solomon said that there are three things that are never satisfied. No, and then he says four that never say enough: the grave, the barren womb, the thirsty desert, and the blazing fire of eternal hell. And I want to talk to you about those four things tonight, and I hope you're really eager to learn and want to know more about what the Bible says about that. The Bible says, be content with what you have. Be satisfied. Four things that are never, ever satisfied. Did you know that the grave is never satisfied? Satan will never be happy as long as there are souls in this world that are headed for the grave. Because death and disease is of the devil himself. He is the one who originated death, not God. You know, God gets blamed with a lot of things. Our Heavenly Father does. People blame God maybe for the death of children, or the death of those in midlife, or the death of older people, and all the accidents and the things that people go through in this life, all of our problems. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, Job 14, 1 and 2 says. But we attribute most of our problems and our issues to God instead of blaming Satan. But he says that the grave is never satisfied. What does he really mean by that? Well, the door of death never has a no vacancy light flashing on it. Never does it. And death never fails to accommodate, but one more. Death is never satisfied. Think about it. In Genesis 5, we see eight different accounts of death taking place. You can go back and look at all those accounts tonight. I wish we had time to go through them. But I know one thing, that people will one of these days, in their lack of being satisfied by God himself, will end up in a devil's hell. And the devil will be there to greet you and welcome you and make you feel comfortable for a while. This tells us that everyone dies. No one escapes. There are nearly 7 billion people on the planet Earth today. Stop and think about that one. But the death rate is still one per person. And that's the way it is. And the Bible teaches us that we're going to die. You can juggle your time all you want to, but you know what? One of these days, time will stop for you. It will stop for me. We know that according to the Bible, listen to Ecclesiastes 3:3, there is a time to be born, and a time to die, so God says, and more than 30 million people will die this year, 2026. Consider it. Isn't that amazing? More than 3 million. Now, I don't know what that is based on the ratio of young children or babies that are born into the world to replenish, but I know one thing for sure, that's a lot of folk. The grave machinery is always busy. Ben was telling me this last week, they had someone die every day for 7 days. Isn't that amazing? Had one die today. People die. In the book of Hebrews 9:27, the word of God says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. It is coming. You better be prepared for it. The grim reaper could strike at any moment. And whether or not we're ready to meet God is based upon our relationship with Him. For He said that if we don't walk in the straight and the narrow, and when it comes our time to draw our last breath and we stand in the presence of God, He will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew you. And you know, the real sad thing is that they never knew God. When I think about the figures I were giving you just a moment ago, that translates into 3,400 people every hour that die. 57 graves will be dug and opened in the next 60 seconds. Consider that. That's one for every second. And as I speak, one dies and another, and then another. You can go on and on and on. That reminds us of the fact of what Paul said here in Hebrews 9. Death is an appointment that we're going to keep. You know, you can make appointments. You make doctor's appointments. You make appointments maybe to go see someone and whatever. And for some reason or another, you end up breaking that appointment and you don't keep it. And that's all right, I guess. But your appointment with God will be kept, whether you want to or whether you decide you don't want to. You will die, and you will be judged. Age is not respected by the grave. I've told you before, I don't know how many funerals for young children and teenagers that I have spoken at through the years. For just about every age imaginable. There are all sizes of graves out in the graveyard. If you go walking through Roselawn or maybe Land of Memory or wherever you want to go, you will notice that there are some graves that are shorter than others. Because children die, adults die, men die, women die, and the grave cries out. And this is what Solomon said, when the grave is never satisfied, that the grave cries out more, more, more. And Satan is delighted when people die. But one thing Satan doesn't realize, you know, and he's not as wise as God, I can tell you that for sure, is the fact that we're going to be in the presence of God when we die. Satan doesn't like that, however. But you know, David did such a great job this afternoon speaking at his sister's memorial service. And talk about the joy that we have as a child of God when a loved one dies. You know, the scripture even said that really when a baby's born, we ought to cry. And when one has departed from this life, we ought to rejoice. Maybe the reason, and I don't know the theory behind King Solomon's perhaps theology, I guess you could say, but the fact that maybe a young baby that is born in this world, think about what all that baby is going to have to face in years to come. I think about our little great-grandchild, Levi. I think about all the changes that I have seen in my world when I was growing up. And I almost shiver when I think about the changes that he's going to see. I almost want to ask the question that the disciples asked Jesus. When you come, will we find faith on the earth? There's another thing that's never satisfied, and that's a barren womb of a woman is never satisfied. You know, there are some people, some women, who cannot conceive and give birth to children. They just can't. My sister was one of them. Audrey has a sister. Same way. Didn't happen. But the barren womb is never, ever satisfied. There's that quest to have that child. There is that longing within the woman's heart. I remember my sister well and how she wanted children. And there is that longing. Something within a woman that longs for a child. And the innermost desire of a born-again Christian is to win others to Christ. It's true, isn't it? When you were born again, your quest was, well, I want to tell everybody else about my Savior, and I want them to know about the God that I serve. And you will never be completely satisfied spiritually until you begin to reach others for Christ. Nothing else will satisfy. Entertainment's not going to take care of your longing for satisfaction. It's just not going to happen. A job advancement will not satisfy you. I've known of people who have said, well, if I just had a better job, I'd be satisfied. No, you wouldn't. You see, satisfaction is a state of mind. It is within our mind. And the barrenness of your soul will cry out, dissatisfied and dissatisfied. Never am I satisfied. Paul wrote in the book of Romans 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Here is an evangelist who is going over the entire world, known world at that time, preaching and proclaiming the message of Christ. As long as there was an ounce of breath or a heartbeat in this man, he wanted to win people to Christ. My heart's desire, the thing he talked about more than anything else, was to bring people to Christ. And then thirdly, there's another thing that Solomon mentions, and that is that the dry ground is never, ever satisfied. Y'all remember the drought we had here a few years ago? I remember it well. Matter of fact, there were two of them. And we thought, what in the world is going to happen? But that Texas drought was a horrible thing. It was hot and it was dry. And you could, when you looked at the ground, sometimes you could just see big cracks in the soil and in the ground as a result of the dryness. I could take a water hose like this and I could fill those holes and it would never, ever satisfy the hole. It never could get enough. You just keep watering it and watering and the water goes down, 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 and it never really ceases to go down. In several minutes, you could see it just sucking that water because the ground was never satisfied. But through all of that, I found an ingenious way to water your dry ground. There are a lot of ways to do it, I suppose. But the earth is a type of humanity. The water is a type of the Holy Spirit. Man, who is a type of the earth, can never be satisfied until he is full of water, and the water being the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Isaiah 44 and verse 3 says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Great promise of God. And King David, in one of his darkest hours, realized the need for the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes people think that the Holy Spirit is something and someone who came in New Testament times, because Christ said he was going to send the Paraclete, that is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But the Holy Spirit was very much alive in the Old Testament because the Holy Spirit has been alive from day one and even before. For the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let us make man. And that word us, the Elohim, means the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three of them. And so he says here, and he's really concerned about it because of his sin, and he says in Psalm 51, verse 11, cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You mean David possessed the Holy Spirit? He absolutely did. We serve an awesome God. We do. Who reigns from heaven above. And he is very muchly aware of what takes place in our world every day. He does. The absence of the Holy Spirit will bring a defeat and a discouragement. You will always be defeated. You will never be satisfied without the Spirit of God. Because the ground is never, ever satisfied. I noticed yesterday, and I was so thankful for the good rain that we had. I planted my potatoes yesterday. Everybody said you have to plant them according to the almanac, and I checked the almanac, and it said you can plant potatoes on the 12th or the 13th or the 14th. And so I planted them on the 14th. And I thought, well, I'll have to get out there and water them. But I didn't have to water them because it rained. And God's good water took care of what I really needed to do. But I noticed how the earth even then just absorbed that water. And if you, as the Bible depicts the Holy Spirit of God as water too, you know, you just have to stop and think, how much of the Holy Spirit do I really need? Can you get too much? No. You can't get too much. And there is no measure of misery of the man who is empty and thirsty for God. That's why the Bible says, and it talks about hell, that it is the place where the fire is not quenched. You will never, ever be satisfied in hell. There is a longing that has never, ever been satisfied. I want the world to know the one who loves them so, like a flame, it's burning deep inside their soul, never, ever satisfied. And last of all, the fires of hell, did you know the Bible says, are never satisfied? That's what Solomon said. The fires of hell are never satisfied. They're just waiting. Satan is waiting for more souls to come and join them in hell in torment. And the fire that saith not. You know what Solomon said? It is enough. Is it? Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never, ever satisfied. Hell has been enlarged to accommodate the multitudes. Now, that's what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. He says, strive to enter at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and there is the way that leads unto life, and few there be to find it. But broad is that way, and wide is that gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Listen to it again. In Isaiah 5, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. There'll always be room for one more soul in hell. Satan is not concerned with how many are condemned to hell. He wants one more, just one more, because hell and the fires of hell are never satisfied. But you know what? God can do abundant things, amazing things. He can do spectacular things. He can do wonderful, great, magnanimous things, like saving the souls of those who come to him. Honor him. Did you know that Jesus said three times in the book of Mark, the ninth chapter, that the fire is not quenched? It's not put out. Hell is forever, folks. Sometimes we got some of our brethren now teaching that hell is only for a short period of time. You get out and you get to go again in life. Not true. Bible doesn't teach that at all. I don't know where they get their theology, but it certainly doesn't come from God. Jesus said again that the fire is not quenched. The fire of hell never burns itself out. It is never, ever satisfied. That word quenched is an unusual word. We generally think of quenching your thirst by when you're thirsty, you take a drink of water. It's to satisfy. And when you talk about fire, it means to extinguish it, to actually quench the fire or to suppress it. Or rapidly cool heated metal in liquids like water or oil. But the fire of hell burns and burns and burns, and there is no end. And there are those who tell us that hell is not real. Matthew 25:41, Jesus said, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." God does not intend for one human being to go to hell. It was never in the mind of God that anyone would ever be lost. He has provided a way of escape for everyone from the fiery flames of eternal torment. In Matthew 7, again, we're to enter that straight gate. For that wide gate is there, and you can choose where you want to go. You can either walk down the straight and narrow way, or you can walk down the wide path that leads to eternal hell and damnation. We hear wrong messages about hell today. Have you ever noticed what all people say about hell? Some people say, well, it's not the cry from torment. God says it is. People tell you all kinds of things. And you can find a preacher that'll stand in a pulpit and tell you erroneous things, and you will believe it. There is a fool born every minute. Some people say, well, it's not the weeping of a mother who was separated from her children. It's not that. God said it is. And thirdly, they teach, it's not the wailing of a dad who ignored the warnings of hell. Not what God said. Or we don't hear the crying, weeping of a teenager who didn't make ready for his death. The grave is never satisfied, nor is hell. Instead, we hear that hell's not real. Not real, some people say it's mythological. Isn't it interesting that the Word of God says it is real? It's a matter of who you're going to believe. The world, you're going to believe God. No intelligent person really believes in hell, some people say. I don't care about their intelligentsia. Or some say that God wouldn't send a person to hell. Do you think he wouldn't? Go back and read the Word of God once again. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, but the gift of God is eternal life. These are all lies coming from the dissatisfied fires of hell. People better wake up. But some are never satisfied. Every person in hell right now truly believes in hell. Now, I know that when we die that we go to a place of paradisical glory if we're a Christian. But that transitory place where we go and when we await the coming judgment of God is called the Hadean world. And one goes into that Hadean world to await the resurrection. You're not going to be in heaven until you have the resurrection and God clothes you in an immortal way We have a lot of people think, well, you just go right on to heaven as soon as you die. No, you don't. You go to paradise and you await the judgment. And you await the resurrection. Now, that's what God says. Audrey and I were talking about that this afternoon. But if somebody makes it to paradise, don't you think they're going to make it to heaven? Yeah, I believe that. I don't think they would be in paradise. I don't think anybody goes to paradise not going to go to heaven. But I don't think that anybody goes to that Hadean world just because they went to that world is going to be lost. But we will await the coming judgment of God. And every person in that state of hell or that Hadean world, and that was what it's really translating, really believes in hell. One last thought. Jesus does satisfy. The world can't. The grave is never satisfied. Dry ground is never satisfied. The barren womb is never satisfied. But Jesus is the only one who can satisfy. And in Psalms 107 and verse 9, David says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." He's the only one. In Isaiah 58 and 11, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Jeremiah 31 and 14, "And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord God." They shall be satisfied with my goodness. Someone wrote, "O soul, you are weary and troubled. No light in the darkness that you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior and a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace." Beautiful old hymn, and so true, isn't it? I hope tonight, and I really believe that all of you are Christians, and I hope and pray that you are, but I hope and pray that if you're not, that you would obey the gospel tonight. And we still offer the invitation of our Lord here at Crockett Road to give people an opportunity to make their way to the front and acknowledge their desire to become a child of God and to confess their faith in Christ and to repent of their sins and to be immersed or baptized in water for the forgiveness of sin. We talked about water tonight, but the water of baptism is also a time of renewal, isn't it? It's a time for us to be born again. The Bible says of the water and the Spirit, John chapter 3. And if you're here tonight and you feel like you're experiencing a spiritual drought, won't you come to the one who can take care of that? And that's Jesus, our Lord, while we stand and while we sing.